You need to put yourself in a place where the word of God is being shared. You need to put yourself in a place where there's some wise, godly people around you. You need to put yourself in a place where the environment is as such, where you're being uplifted and encouraged in the things of God. You are not going to receive the promise of God unless you put yourself in a receptive mode.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of Filing Under Chapter 11, Part 2. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Filing Under Chapter 11, Part 2.
What is bobblehead ministry? God is good. That's right, Pastor. That's right. God will provide your needs. That's right, Pastor. That's right. A lot of bobbleheads. All right. You know, we're not looking for bobbleheads. I believe God has put us into a place where we got to say, not only is God, but we got to trust him. You put your back up against the wall and say, okay, now, God, you got to work here. You know, this thing is on you. You got to work this out. And sometimes God brings you to that place in your own personal life where you got to sit back and just say, well, God, you know, unless you make something happen, this thing is not going to happen. So the R, that you've got to receive the promise. The E, you've got to embrace the promise. And then let me move on quickly this morning to the S. And the S is that you have to step out on the promise of God. This word, evidence, look at what he says here in chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This word evidence is a powerful word. If you have your notes this morning, you know you can read along with me. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Listen to this. The word evidence actually means conviction, a strong persuasion or belief. The individuals mentioned in this chapter were so convicted by the promises of God that they stepped out on them. See, this is more than just some casual belief. This is more than just God is good. This is more than just, oh, he'll make a way. This is more than just I've seen him do it before. But the word evidence means that you are convicted and that you believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that this thing is going to come to pass, so much so that it causes you to move on out into some kind of action. Now let me show you now. Verse 7. Noah, well, he was convicted. He was convicted by God, being warned of the things not seen as yet. Moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. It said Noah was so convicted by God that he went out and he built a boat. Noah, what are you doing? I'm building a boat. Why are you building a boat? Because God told me to build a boat. But look, man, the water is miles away. Why are you building here on land? Because it's going to flood. Man, the water is not coming this far inland. Well, I don't know how God is going to do it, but God told me to build a boat. They never seen rain before. Didn't know what rain was all about. Rain? What is rain? And Noah built the boat by faith. He was so convicted that for 120 years, he stood out there and pounded on that boat. Man, you got to be the craziest fool in the world standing out here. What in the world are you doing, man, all these years building a boat? See, when you got a conviction in your heart, when there's a conviction in your heart, you step out on it. Verse 8, by faith. Let me just change. Can I change it for a second? Let me substitute by faith and let me say under conviction. Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, and he didn't even know where he was going. You got to be convicted to do something like that. You got to be convicted. Pastor Glaze, where are you going? I'm going to Lynchburg, Virginia. Where are you going to stay?
I don't know.
How you going to provide for your family?
I don't know.
God just told me to go. Man, you got to be the biggest fool in the world. You got a U-Haul on the back of your car with a little bit of change in your pocket, and you talking about you going to seminary. What you talking about, man? By faith, you going to seminary. What's wrong with you?
By faith.
I didn't know what in the world. You know, as a matter of fact, I was a little concerned about that word Lynch. But then I got there and found out that the city was named after a man by the name of John Lynch. So that's, I was cool then. But you know, by faith, he went out. He left his country, and he didn't even know where he was going. So convicted in his heart. Look at verse 24. Under conviction, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Under conviction, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Under conviction, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Under conviction, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. See, conviction, this thing, faith is, once again, it's more than just a casual thing now. When you got faith, there's a rooted conviction that's down in your heart, that's down in your spirit, that makes you move out. Oh, look at verse 31. By faith, the harlot. See, that just goes to show you that you can be anywhere and get in this game. You can come from any background and get in God's game, as long as you got faith. By faith, under conviction, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not, when she received the spies with peace. Under conviction. See, brothers and sisters, I'm saying that when you got faith, it's easy to sit up here on Sunday morning and talk about faith and pray. But faith means that you go and that you put your foot to the road. Yeah. It means that there's some moving out and there's some action. There was an actor who this preacher came up to once, and he said, I want you to explain something to me. He said, well, what is it? He said, can you tell me what's the difference between me and you? The preacher said, you appear before crowds night after night with fiction, and the crowds come wherever you go. He said, I'm preaching the unchangeable word of God, and I have a hard time getting any crowd at all. And the actor thought, and he said, well, the answer is quite simple, my brother preacher. He said, I can tell you the difference between you and me. He said, I present fiction as if it were truth, and you present truth as if it were fiction. And you know what? That's a shame that, you know, you can look at Hollywood, folk that can't even keep a marriage together. You can look at Hollywood, folk that get in all kind of trouble, and they can be so convicted about their acting, and they can be portraying somebody up on the stage to the point that it has folk standing there in their seats crying. Folk every day between 12 and 4 o'clock. No. Oh, no, you're not going to leave him, are you? No, you're not going to. Oh, no, you're not going to leave him, are you? Folk so gripped by an actor who stands up there with fiction but does it with such conviction that you follow it. And yet still we as Christians, we leave this casual life. No conviction in our life. No gumption in our life. No bite to our faith. We just move through this, and we got the real deal, and we move through just like it's fiction. We need to get some faith with some grip in it. We need to get some faith with some bite in it. We need to be able to step out and stand on the promises of God. Man, I heard about a guy who went to his pastor, and he said, Pastor, God let me down. And the pastor said, well, how did God let you down? He said, I got this eviction notice from my landlord, and And I figured that if I just went and sat, she said she was calling the police to come evict me. And I figured if I just sat on the front lawn that and pleaded my case with the policeman that they would let me stay. He said, I got my chair. He said, I sat out on the front lawn. The policeman came with the eviction notice and to evict me off of the property. And I pled my case with them and they took me off and evicted me. He said, I asked God to help me. I asked God to help me be able to get back in my apartment. He said, Pastor, what, God let me down. What happened? And the pastor said, well, I can tell you exactly what happened. Instead of sitting on the premises, you should have been standing on the promises. And I'm here to tell you today that we got too many of God's people sitting on the we got too many of God's people sitting on the premises, and they need to be standing on the promises. We just sitting, oh, I'm waiting for God, waiting for God. You need to be standing on the promises. You need to grab a hold of a rhema. You need to grab a hold of one of those promises and say, I'm going to hold on to this promise, and I'm going to hold on to it and believing that God is going to work it out. Look at Joshua chapter 3 with me real quick. Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. And God told the Israelites that they were going to go into the promised land, and he was going to move them ahead, and that they would take the promised land city by city until they inhabited the whole promised land. But first they had a little obstacle. Oh, yeah, I wasn't even going. Let me throw this one in for free. So y'all who gave money in the offering this morning, you can take a dollar back because this one is free right here. I'm not going to charge you for this one. I just thought about this just now. But look, I was going to verse 14, but the Lord directed me back. Look at verse 5. Here they were getting ready to go across the Jordan. And look what Joshua said in verse 5. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Sanctify yourself. See, sanctify. We're looking for God to do something. I hope you sanctified today. I hope if you voting today, I hope you sanctified. I hope you sanctified. All right, that's free. All right, let me get on to my point. Verse 14. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over the Jordan, and the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as they who bore the Ark were come unto the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the Ark were dipped into the brim of the water, for the Jordan overflow all its banks all the time of the harvest. We're talking about a flood here. We're talking about a flood. Overflow? There's a flood. But look what the priests did. The priests went and put their feet in the water, all right? And in verse 16, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up in one heap very far from the city of Adam that is beside Zarethan. And those that came down toward the sea of the south, even the salt sea failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were completely passed over the Jordan. See, it's very intimidating. It's very, very intimidating. But you know what? We're not going to do it. Nothing going to happen until you step up, until you put your foot there. You know, not now we're going to see if God is who he said he is. Now we're going to see if all this stuff that God, we've been reading in devotion, read through the Bible with Pastor Glaze, and Wednesday night Bible study and Sunday school, Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, Charles Stanley, John McCullough, Tony, we're going to see. Amen. Here we go. yeah, here we go. I like that right there. Here we go. Let's see what's going to happen. Oh, well, you know, man, that water looked kind of rough right there. I don't know, man. Look at that big tree going down. I don't know. God said, step on out. And when they stepped out and they put their foot in the water, God dried it up. And the Bible says that they went across on dry ground. Faith is the conviction That word evidence is a little bit more than just, I got some evidence here. It's the conviction. Evidence that brings a conviction. If you got evidence, you know, they had a bunch of evidence against OJ, but there was no conviction. Bunch of evidence. You have a bunch of evidence, but you got to have a conviction with the evidence. And you know what? God has just done enough stuff in my life. And I hope he's done enough stuff in your life for you to have some evidence that will lead you to a conviction. Lead you to a conviction to believe in your heart that God will do what he says he's going to do. Rest. I'm talking about rest this morning. See, when you go by faith, you rest. If you do it not by faith, then you're going to work. You're going to work. And you got a plan, and you got a scheme, and you got to do this, and you got to do that, because you're doing it all in the flesh. But when you do it by faith, you rest. You receive the promise of God. You embrace the promise of God. You step out on the promise of God. And then I'm going to close this morning with the T, and that is you think on the promise of God. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, look, let's go back to verse 11 again. Let's go back to verse 11 again. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the conviction or the evidence of things not seen. Now, if I can't see something, then what's the only thing I can do? Is think about it. If I can't see it, I mean, if I'm trusting God for something, whatever it might be, and I can't see it, then what's the only thing I can do? I just visualize it in my mind. I just think about it in my mind. Now, once again, I want to be careful because I don't want to step over this boundary. And like I said, you might need to get the tape or the CD before this one or get the notes, because I did a whole teaching in that message on Word of Faith. All right, so I broke that down. So we don't want to step into that Word of Faith thing now, all right? So that we already got that out of the way. So I'm giving that that precursor so that we don't get confused here, all right? But I'm saying that, you know, you got to think about what it is. You got to keep it on your mind what it is that God wants you to do. I'm not saying speaking into existence. I'm not saying get you a magic lamp and rub the side and God is going to come out and give you three wishes. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that you got to think, what is it? God, what is it that I'm trusting you for by faith? And you think about that, and then you just visualize it, and you wait for the reality to come. And you know, as you think about it, you need faith. Our eyes bring us into the world of the seen. Our ears bring us into the world of the hearing. Our nose bring us into the world of smell. Our tongue brings us into the world of taste. Our skin brings us into the world of feeling. What takes us into the unseen world? We got five senses to bring us in touch with this world that we see every day. We got five senses that bring us in touch with this world around us. What brings us in touch with that world that's unseen is faith. Faith is the only thing that will take you into that unseen world. And the problem is that we got too many people living in the world of the five senses. Time after time, God talks about this life being a life of unseen things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, while we look not at the things which are seen, because the things which are seen are temporal, but we look at the things which are unseen, because the things which are unseen are permanent. Man, get your mind out of this world sometimes. Get your mind out of the things that lock you into this world. The only thing that transports you from this world into the other world is faith. Faith takes you there. Let me get you to look at one more scripture, and I'm going to close this morning. This is not going to be one of them half-hour closes, but I'm going to close this morning. Second Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. Here we see about a battle going on between Israel and Syria. And the battle plans for the Syrians were revealed to the Israelites. And the king is trying to find out, well, how did this happen? How did they find out? What were we going to do? And we pick up the story. Verse 8. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall my camp be. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 9. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for there the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and he saved him there not once nor twice. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was very much troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, will you show me which of us it is that's for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speak in thy bedchamber. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore he sent their horses and chariots and great hosts, and they came by night, and they compassed the city round about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, master, what shall we do? The king of Syria sent all these men to take Elijah. They came to take him over and surrounded the city where he was at. And the servant went out and said, look, I don't see Underdog. I don't see Superman. I don't see Batman. We in trouble. And he went back and he told Elijah, he said, last master, what shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they who are with us are more than they who are with them. What in the world are you talking about, man? What are you talking about, Willis? And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. See, he had to get out of this world that he could see. He had to get out of this world of the giants and the enemies and the horses and the chariots. Because, see, that'll lock you in. That'll restrict you. But whenever you can somehow get outside of this world, we serve a God who is able to show us what it is that we really have in him. And somebody said this, that faith is learning. Watch this now. You might want to write this down. This is a wise saying. This is one of these wise saying. It's not me. I found it somewhere. Faith is learning to live by insight and not by sight. So I think it's in your notes, but if you don't have that, you want to write that down. Faith is learning to live by insight and not by sight. And God's people got to get out of this world of sight. And we got to get into the world of insight. Filing under chapter 11. That's one chapter 11 I want to be in. Hebrews chapter 11. Faith. Rest. Receive the promise of God. Embrace the promise of God. Step out on the promise of God. And think on the promise of God.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Nobody Woke Me Up. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, filing under Chapter 11, Part 2, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request filing under Chapter 11, Part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request filing under Chapter 11, Part 2. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.